Welcome back to Your Tech Report.
Back on Your Tech Report, Marco Flalo, Montreal, Mitchell Whitfield in Los Angeles. Thank you for being with us each and every single week. No hiding the fact that we're big fans of headphones of all shapes and sizes. So when I got the opportunity and said, hey, Mark, you want to talk to the founder of Odyssey? I said, absolutely. Shankar, I'm so happy to have you on the show this week. I want to talk all about headphones. We can geek out on gaming. Tell me first, Odyssey, you've been in this business for a very long time. What's it like working under a company like Sony after just a couple months now?
So, you know, it's we have been working with this team for longer than 2 years now, because we started working with them, I think, December 2021 early January 2022 on the design of the new PlayStation Pulse Elite headphones. Okay. So we know the team very well. In fact, some of the team members, we know them even before, almost when we designed our Lightning headphone from 2016. During the time. So it's not a big difference for us. Odyssey is still an independent, fully owned subsidiary of Sony. So Odyssey continues making its own audiophile products and pro audio and gaming products under Odyssey's brand name. We will also work on all the PlayStation audio products.
Talk to me about designing for these different genres, because gaming is very specific, and a gamer doesn't necessarily, yes, they care about audio and they care about sound immensely, but they care about it a little bit differently than audiophiles do. How do you balance that carefully? I know there's obviously benefits throughout the company to use technology that is designed for a much higher end headphone versus the gaming. But how do you balance that so that your consumers are always happy at the end of the day?
So, yeah, I mean, our first initial idea of getting into gaming was actually in 2016 or 2015. And when we designed an Elite headphone with microphones and stuff, we never released it to the market, primarily because at that time we decided that, you know, it's not, you can't just make a headphone with the analog jack and then call it like with a microphone and say, hey, this is a gaming headphone at this point. You know, you can introduce it that way, but that's not the right approach. So our goal was to actually work on it. And also there's already headphones that do just that, right? You can put a microphone and then call it a day. So we decided the first thing is we need to do something. We need to make sure we address all the pain points that typical headsets have. And second thing is also when we introduce our first gaming headset, the Mobius, we need to also make a splash. We can't just make just another headset. Yes, planar drivers will be helpful, but we can't just say, hey, slap a planar driver and call it a headphone for gaming. So when we did the Mobius, we put in a lot of effort into spatial audio. Now it's much more prevalent because all the AirPods have it, but when we released it at that point, it was one of the first headphones to have head tracking and all those things. And so we introduced it, and then we got a lot of feedback. Sounds great, 3D audio is good, but we also need this other feature. For example, game share balance in PC, not just in consoles. Microphone noise abatement and a different, you know, those kind of things. So we took all the feedback and even battery life. You know, we thought, you know, if you look at that time, 2019, 2020, 15 hours of battery was enough. That was the norm for most, even noise cancellation headsets. But gamers said they wanted more than that. So we collected all this feedback. We went back to the drawing board, and then we worked on the Maxwell. So if you see many of those things, even I think there is actually even Reddit threads on these things and where we go in and address some of those issues. So it's basically some new ideas combined with a lot of feedback. And that's basically our approach to making gaming headsets.
And that's an approach that you also do on the professional side of things too, because I remember hearing about the MM500, for example. You worked very closely with really large studios to make sure that people would use these specifically for mixing, right?
Correct. Yeah. Our initial headset actually was the LCD X that got us into the thing. But the reason was also feedback from customers. So when we introduced the first LCD3 headphone, we noticed a lot of people started using it in studios. But it was wood rings. It was hard to make. It was hard to keep it easily in the studio. So we made metal ring version of LCD3 and modified it to make it the LCDX. So the LCDX actually came through with that kind of feedback. And with the MM500 and stuff, we wanted to take it a little bit more focused into Pro Audio, not just a simple modification. So we worked with Manny, Larabi Studios, and also a whole lot of other artists. If you go to odyssey.com/artists, you will see we work day in and day out with artists. In fact, some of the new things on Maxwell are actually feedback that we receive from Pro Audio users.
It's amazing, and I think that's an important thing to note, because not many companies are so forthright about the process in which they use to create their products. So showing that you work with these incredible artists and studios means that I, as a consumer, can go out and get the same thing that are being mixed on Grammy award-winning records. And that's something I think that's important to talk about, not just because you've got egos. We all have an ego. We like to talk about it. But it's also because it shows the attention to detail that goes into the products. And I'm assuming that's why you do it.
Correct. And internally, we have a saying, these are tools, not toys.
I love that.
So it's very important for us. For example, when the MM500 was released, the first version of it, MM100 was released, the first version of it, when we tested it in the studio, the feedback was we need longer cables. Well, such a small thing. You know, we actually do this for the audiophile products, but the cable lengths needed to be longer for Pro Audio users because they were sliding their chair and the consoles and stuff. So that modified the product release dates and stuff. For both the MM500 and 100, we now have longer cables thanks to feedback. I mean, I'm just giving you a small example. But,
no, but that's an important example. That's something I deal with every day because I use custom in-ear monitors for certain things, and I always find the cable is just – if I only had an extra foot or if I – you know, it's and details like this are important, and also, again, show the attention to detail that you have there. You mentioned something a bit earlier, which was that you guys have been in spatial audio before people were really talking about it as a buzzword. How much of an advantage do you think that was for you or is for you today with everybody focusing on spatial audio? Is it something that you're continuously working on and improving on, or is it a technology you just nailed right and it's now just you can go out there and say we did it first?
So our approach has changed. When we first introduced spatial audio, we could get multi-channel audio from speakers and laptops and stuff. From desktops and laptops. But the problem was, how do you get this to the headphone and how do you create the spatial audio, right? And so USB-C or USB was the only choice because we could get multi-channel over the digital network. We couldn't do it over Bluetooth or analog, or there was no low latency connection. But the rendering at the time was done in the headphone. So we would get all the audio channels, mix it in the headphone, and then create the spatial audio. But the market has significantly changed in the last 3-4 years. With Dolby Atmos and Apple coming into the play. So if you look at it, different platforms have their own approach. Apple is with Atmos Music now. Xbox is, you can have Dolby Atmos or DTS:X or Windows Spatial. Android is going to, I think, introduce their own spatial audio, or if it is, it's already there in Android, the beta builds that we are using. Then on PlayStation, you have Tempest Audio and Sony's own 3D audio engine. And each of these things are very different from each other, and there is no way for us to have the rendering done on the headphone. So our approach in spatial audio has changed. What we now do is, for example, with Maxwell, we put the sensors for spatial audio, you know, like head tracking and all that stuff. And now what we are doing is we are integrating, we are giving this information to developers and other, you know, spatial audio tools so that they could use this information and render it in the host system.
Okay.
Okay. So this whole thing, because, you know, we need to be, at Odyssey, we would like to be agnostic of the spatial audio solution. So our approach is, okay, let's provide this information. And for example, on the Maxwell today, anybody can grab the data the head tracking data and use it whatever way they wanted to. And this also is leading to some interesting approaches. There is a university group in North Carolina where they are using the head tracking data to figure out the magnetic field distortions in the Earth's magnetic, you know, things like this,
which
I never would have thought of, right? So, but making it open and accessible allows other people to build interesting applications on top. So you will see by later this year some more interesting applications come through.
That's super interesting, especially the approach is kind of the opposite approach, I think, of other companies where they're customizing it for those platforms. You're actually just opening it up and saying, you know what, you guys, this is how we do it. Now tailor to us, which is pretty cool. I got to ask you about Reveal Plus. This is a plugin that works in digital audio workstations, music software, and actually customizes the sound, tell me if I'm wrong, to your specific ear. Why is that important?
So there's research that show that's recent research that shows there's much more newer things, but Reveal Plus was designed a few years ago, right? And then what happens is when you are trying to emulate speakers on a headphone, and that's basically what the goal of the product is, right? Or a studio, right? You have to do three things. You have to first make the spatial audio work for your head shape and ear shape and concha and pinna. That's the first thing. Second thing is you have to emulate the speaker of that room. The third thing is you have to model the room. So these are the three things that go into creating a spatial audio for mixing environment, right? So, and each of these three things you can easily go to your room and measure the speakers. So you'll get the frequency response of it. But in most cases, people would put a dummy head or something and try to measure the frequency response at a sweet spot. But then what happens is if your ears are very different or your head shape is very different from what is the dummy head, the frequency response changes significantly.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the custom HRTFs. So what we do is... we worked with, in that particular case, we worked with Embody up in Bay Area. So they were developing a small software that would capture the shape of your ear with a picture and then from it extract your customized HRTF. Because it's not practical to put a microphone into everybody's ear and measure the HRTF. So, you know, this was a arrangement. And recent research has shown that there's also more universal HRTFs coming that seem to kind of work for multiple people. So, you know, our goal is, as I said again, we would like to be agnostic. Whichever solution works for you, we want to support it.
That's impressive. So, I mean, you know, I could be mixing in an airplane, you know, using sound isolating headphones and mimic an environment of a studio with a specific set of speakers. That's pretty impressive. And it takes that mixing to a whole new level. It really takes the environment out of the picture and really brings it to our own ears. How many different types of speakers or sounds can you model out of this?
So, we have the Reveal Plus, and there's also the software from Embody that expands on it. But gotcha. They sell it directly. The Reveal Plus is our software. In the sense that we worked on it with Embody. In that software, we work closely with them. I think there are four or five studios in there. And then Embody guys have expanded on it and have actually even done some spatial audios, you know, like 7.1.4. One of them actually is a very, you know, big Odyssey user is Alan Meyerson. They have a studio as well. And you can see, you know, and that's, you know, Alan uses an LCD-Fi. He mixed all the Dune music.
Yeah, he's been so you can actually listen to.
They have a model of his studio, so you can actually, if you have the soundtrack, you can try to see how it sounds in that particular environment.
That's really, really cool. Tell us what's on the roadmap for Odyssey for coming the months. Well, anything exciting that you're looking forward to specifically coming to market?
Yeah, I mean, we continually are working on stuff. We did show at NAMM this year the Dolby Atmos integration for Maxwell for Pro Audio users. That's getting a lot of traction, more than we thought it would. Basically, it is one of the easiest solutions for somebody to use Maxwell on spatial audio to mix with Atmos. We are planning to, or other companies are planning to integrate with Maxwell. So we will see a whole lot of activity around it. On the audiophile side, we do have some upcoming headphones. We always have them, right? The timing, you know, we need to finish the product. Timing has to be right before we release it. And in Pro Audio, we just released the MM100 with Manny. So on all three markets, we are still focusing on it. This year, the goal is to catch up with Maxwell demand.
Amazing. I noticed that, you know, there's a waiting time or things are sold out. So but it's looking great. Thakkar, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. It was fun to talk to you. I look forward to getting hands on with a couple pair of the headphones and test them out for myself. But I've always loved the products, and my son raves about them upstairs, and he's a much bigger gamer than I am. So he's a pretty picky guy. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Thank you, Mark.
And thank you guys for joining us each and every single week. If you want to connect, it is at Your Tech Report on all our social media platforms. And email is contact@yourtechreport.com.
You've been tuned in to Your Tech Report. Join us again next week for another edition. And be sure to follow Your Tech Report online. Email us contact@yourtechreport.com. Follow us on Twitter @YourTechReport. Like us on Facebook.com/YourTechReport. For the latest in breaking tech news and reviews, YourTechReport.com.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first five episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all three of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.